Welcome to the Book Chooks, where we talk about books with your host, Librarian Selena.
I love reading books, it's fun. I often read them with my mum. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Right here on Planet 104.6 FM. Stay tuned for the next half hour as we find more great books to read. Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight we have an author who cycled all the way from London to Auckland, over 52,000 kilometres, to be with us. Welcome, Jeremy Scott.
Good evening. It's good to be here.
What an amazing feat. And I see you've published a book about it, and it's called The Long Road from a Broken Heart. Well, when I first heard about this, I requested it from the library, the public library, and the librarian told me when I was going to pick it up that I had a giant book waiting for me. It was, you know, it wouldn't fit on the shelf, so they had to lay it down. So I didn't realise that it had these gorgeous photographs of your journey, because usually travel memoirs, they're kind of a normal size book and it's not many pictures. But no, this is a landscape size book with full colour photographs of all these different countries you've cycled in. So it's pretty amazing. Now, tell us about your journey. How many countries you went through and how long it took you and how you came to write this book?
Okay. So the journey took me 2.5 years from the time I started. So I set off from London in October 2011, finished here in Auckland in 2014. Mm-hmm. I cycled through 29 countries and there was, just under 52,000 kilometres. And my basic route was from London. I went through about 12 countries in Europe. I went through Turkey, Iran, Central Asia, right the way across China, South Korea, Japan, before coming back into China,
yes.
Southeast Asia, then down through Australia, then finally all the way through New Zealand.
Wow, amazing. And it says on your little fly paper in the first page, it says, "My uncle is riding around the world because he has a broken heart." That's Jackson Pantel, who's aged 5. So tell us about that.
Yeah, little Jackie boy. He's my gorgeous little nephew. And the title, The Long Road from a Broken Heart, would lead a lot of people to think that I'm cycling away from a failed relationship.
Oh, something tragic happened.
And I just can't cope. I'm off. But there's a bit more to it than that. And that when I was born, I had quite major open heart surgery at mm-hmm. Greenland Hospital.
Right.
Sir Brian Barrett Boys was my surgeon, just a brilliant genius of a man. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I couldn't crawl. I was that sick. I couldn't do a lot. And post-surgery, I was as healthy and active as any other child. And so this book is not about a failed relationship. It's about my long journey from open heart surgery to then getting on the bike and cycling around the planet. And that little quote from Jackson, where he said, "My uncle's riding around the world because he has a broken heart," he was too young to explain to his classmates that his uncle had undergone this open heart
right.
surgery and was raising money for these different charities. So that's what he told his classmates. He said that I was riding around the world because I had a broken heart.
Oh, so, sweet.
More physical than emotional.
Yeah. And so the charity that you're raising awareness for is the Heart Foundation?
That's right. So I've raised funds and awareness for the New Zealand, Australian and also the British Heart Foundations. And to date, I've raised somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 for these charities.
Wow.
And for me, I've just started and it's going to be a lifelong project because they've given me a beautiful life.
Wow. Oh, just turning the page there, it's got a picture of you with your bicycle and your all packed and ready to go outside your London flat.
I may be smiling in that photo, but I was terrified. And you can see from the photo, I wasn't exactly fit. I wasn't in good shape. I hadn't done any training. And it was actually the first day I'd even put a full set of panniers, being the bags, onto the bike. So my preparation was minimum at best. But you learn pretty quickly once you're on the road and you're underway. You learn a lot very quickly.
I am a bit of a cyclist myself, although around Auckland it is a bit difficult. So I prefer to be safe and just around my neighbourhood. So I can't imagine cycling all the way around the world. But was there a challenge that you set for yourself, or was it other people saying anything? Or
no, it was just I knew I needed some sort of a challenge in life. I felt like I was just going through the motions and just living in my little comfort bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I came up with all sorts of different ideas of how I could challenge myself, but I lacked the courage to do anything about it.
Right.
And one day, I read a series of articles about different people who had completed little cycling journeys in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think, these people who had cycled in a little bit of Europe had more time. Why couldn't they go through Southeast Asia?
Mm-hmm.
If they had a bit more time, why couldn't they go around the South Island of New Zealand?
Exactly.
And then I started to think, what if I had the time? Mm. And suddenly the penny dropped. I was living in London, and I thought, well, I've got to get home one day.
Yeah.
And I thought, suddenly I'm going to ride. And that was it. It was just those articles just planted the seed of thought, and I knew one day it was going to happen.
Okay. So did you kind of give up your job and chuck it in and then say, I'm going to go home now on the bike?
Yeah, I did. Well, and as it turned out, where we're having this interview, Unitech, it set me on a career into architecture. This is where I studied.
Oh, right.
And I was working for a large architectural practice in London. But, yeah, so I quit my job. I saved up the money I required, quit my job, packed everything into a few bags, and off I went.
Ah, so I imagine there was a few bit of prep work to do before you set off. And you mentioned in your book that you read a lot of books about the countries that you were going to go to. So you wrote that you read about every Lonely Planet that there was, you know, the Lonely Planet books, which I do have a copy of one here. The Lonely Planet books, if you're not familiar with them, they're the travel guide for independent travellers going backpacking or solo travelling or even just finding about the destination. So they publish practically every country that has travellers in the world. And, yeah, the one I've got here is Cantonese Phrase Book, a 2,000-word two-way dictionary. So it's got Cantonese and English. And so, Jeremy, did you read any phrase books, learning languages of the different countries, or just the general history, or what were you?
Yeah, so I spent a long time before the journey, like going through Lonely Planets and getting an idea of where I'd like to go, what I'd like to see, and it helped give me the confidence to start. Mm-hmm. And yeah, with regards to the languages, it's great to put in as much effort as you can to learn the basics of each country you're going to.
Yeah.
Because even if you stuff it up, people are so much more willing to help if you've at least given it a go.
Yeah.
So what I'd do is, instead of carrying around a guide phrase book, I would write down hundreds of words and phrases onto a few pieces of paper,
mm-hmm.
and I'd stick it to the front of the handlebar bag.
Oh.
So as I'm cycling along towards maybe Iran, I'd be muttering away to myself as I'm pedalling.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of time while you're on the road to just practice these things. So that was the way I did it. It was just a few pieces of paper with as many words and phrases as I could write.
But I can imagine you studying it before you set off.
It's difficult to try and study for every country because there's so many different languages, and then unless you're using it, you forget it pretty quickly.
Yeah. So let's look at the map of where you began. So you got yourself a bike. Oh, at the back. So your route was starting from London and through northern bit of Europe and then going down south to Turkey and then through Middle East, through to Central Asia, and then the top of China, Then, oh, how did you get across the ocean to South Korea?
On a ferry, yeah.
Oh, so with your bike.
Yeah, so just wheel the bike onto the ferry and off I go.
Oh, right. And then through Japan and then back to China.
That's right, yeah, back into Shanghai.
And then down through Vietnam, Indochina, down to Malaysia, through Indonesia.
Yes, yeah, so from Singapore I went across to Indonesia.
And then, you must have gone a ferry to Australia.
I had to get a flight there, so a flight from Bali to Darwin. Mm.
Did they take the bicycle on the plane?
Yeah, they just take it as oversized luggage.
Do you? Oh, okay. Mm. And then down through Australia, all along the coast, down to Melbourne.
That's right.
And then did you fly or did you sail?
So I flew from Melbourne into Christchurch.
Yes.
Then I cycled down towards the bottom of the South Island before turning around and heading up towards Auckland.
Ah, okay. So you didn't go, like, straight from Melbourne to Auckland. You did the whole South Island
tour. No, I had New Zealand to explore.
That's amazing. I really enjoyed reading all your adventures and travels. Mm. And the thing about this book is it's got amazing colour photographs. So you took your camera along and just shot all the landscapes, the people, the plants, the animals. Was that a heavy camera that you took?
It was big. It was a digital DSLR.
Yeah.
So it was a very heavy camera. So carrying such a big camera was a big decision because I was cautious of every extra gram that I'm carrying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I looked at the quality of the images that come out the other side, it was a decision that was the right one.
It's definitely worth it. And now you have this lovely book to share with everyone.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy with the quality of the book and the way it's turned out. It's beyond my expectations.
Did you intend to write this book before you set out?
No, I've always kept a very detailed journal when I travel.
Yep.
It's just the way I fill my evenings.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I got back and I started to speak to a couple of publishers and to one or two other people looking at the images, some of the stories I had, and then I started to think, well, there might be something in this.
There is something in this. Well, we'll take a break right now and we're going to listen to Eddie Vedder's Society, and after that we're going to maybe have a chat about Jeremy's hair-raising adventures. We'll be right back.
It's a mystery to me. We have agreed with which we have agreed. You think you have to want more. Till you have it all, you won't be free. Society, you're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. When you want more than you have, you think you you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think I need to find a bigger place. It's when you have more than you think, you need more space. Society, you're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Without me, is more. How you keep in score means for every point you make, your level drops. Kinda like you're starting from the top. You can't do that, society. You're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, have mercy on me. I hope you're not angry if I disagree. Society, crazy indeed. You're not lonely without me.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Book Chooks on Planet 104.6 FM in Auckland, New Zealand. If you missed the first half of our show, you can download and listen to us online at planetaudio.org.nz/bookchooks.
Also, check out our Goodreads group. The link is on the website, where you'll find the list of what we're reading on the bookshelf. Well, Jeremy, I was reading your story, and so you went to all these different countries, and you had some hair-raising incidents, especially in Iran. So can you share with the listeners and readers what happened there?
Yeah, well, I was devastated. I had probably the scariest encounter of the journey in Iran, because it was my favourite country by a long way. But on this particular day, I'd stopped at a little truck stop restaurant to collect some water before camping for the night. I was just going to camp in the desert. These three men invited me in, and it didn't take long to realise that this little restaurant of theirs was more of a cover for their drug dealing business, and they were peddling large quantities of drugs.
Oh, no.
So before I could take off, the owner came back in from the kitchen with a couple of guns, and this is when the game started. He started spinning the gun on a table and stopping it when it was pointing at me, just playing with the trigger. It's just right. Mind games. And eventually, he paid another man a huge amount of cash. And to this day, I genuinely believe that this guy had been paid to take my life, to get my valuables, namely passports. Yeah, that was right. What I thought they were after. Yeah. Because of all the sanctions, they're pretty valuable on the black market. Yeah. And I'm sitting there plotting through how many of those guys I might have to try and kill to see daylight.
Oh, no.
But it was weird, because I was so calm. I was scared, but I was calm. Just plotting through how I might have to do this if I was to survive. Mm. But thankfully, it didn't come to this, because two trucks arrived, and there were two men in each of these trucks. And unlike most people who went to this place to purchase drugs, these four men actually ordered food. And when I saw that, I knew I had four witnesses. Mm. And I thought, while they're here, they can't touch me.
Yeah.
And that was my ticket out the door. So I grabbed my bike, just started wheeling it out. And one of them, he actually grabbed the back of it. He's like, no, you're staying.
Oh.
And I went, no,
I'm going.
Just you watch me. And, yeah, I rode for 40 kilometres in the middle of the night, too scared to turn on my lights.
Yeah.
And ended up at a little ambulance station. It's a Red Crescent Society.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere. And these two men at the ambulance station took me in, gave me shelter.
Oh.
And they made sure that I was comfortable.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I was terrified. And as I said, I was devastated that happened in Iran, because it doesn't reflect the kindness I received throughout that nation. Just a beautiful place, beautiful people.
Gosh. Sort of, that one incident, it could possibly spoil your journey, but you kept on.
Yes.
And when you were cycling away in the dark, Did you think they were going to come after you?
Yes. And it was, I was in the middle of nowhere, so I could hear vehicles coming from a long way, long way back. And I had time to get off into the desert, drop down into the sand, turn my bike so the little patches on the back of the panniers wouldn't reflect the headlights. And I was holding my breath. I was scared they would see my breath in the headlights. I was petrified.
Someone up there must have been looking after you.
I think so. I'm like a Siamese cat that's had about 18 lives.
Wow. Well, that's just one of the many adventures you had. There was one that said you were the human ice block.
It's in eastern Turkey. I found myself cycling there in the worst winter they had in 50 years, which meant some days I was cycling in temperatures 20 degrees below freezing. And, I had ice stuck to my face. I had minor frostbite, my face, fingers, toes. It was just a horrible experience. But I guess once you get through a place like that where it's just snow and ice everywhere, you come out the other side and you think, well, if I can get through that, what else can I get through?
Yeah.
And I won't lie, I hated those days. But coming out the other side, it helps build your character.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I can get through that.
Yes.
What else can I deal with?
Yep.
And the best way to look at it was character building. As an enjoyment aspect, there wasn't a lot.
It didn't kill you.
No.
It made you stronger.
It did. Yeah, a lot stronger, to be fair.
And through China, you wrote about how quite polluted it was and crowded and sort of the not-so-nice bits of it. And when you went through it, I don't know, I'm just wondering what your take on how China's changed and everything.
Yeah, China is an amazing place to ride, and it's very frantic, quite hectic in a lot of places. And one day I loved it being there. Other days I hated it. And you mentioned the pollution. I rode through quite a few towns that had basically been set up to with coal mines, and so all these big old trucks rumbling around. And within half a day of cycling, I could literally scrape gunk off my skin. And there was a buildup of this gunk under my fingernails.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm breathing this stuff.
Yeah.
And the locals, they breathe it every day.
Yeah.
And the fruit and vegetables they're selling on the side of the road must be just caked in it.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm not buying food from here. I'll just eat rice tonight, I think, and just settle for that until I get out of here.
So your, food, your diet on the journey, did you buy food or, you must have, going into all these different countries, had all different currencies and everything you had to change and...
So I had a supply of US dollars cash.
Right.
And I could change some of that at the borders.
Yeah.
And you could use your MasterCard, Visa cards in a lot of places. But where you couldn't, you needed that cash to just change either at borders or on the black market or whatever. And with regards to food, I cooked, I had my own cooking gear.
Yeah.
And pots and plates and chopping board and... I'd eat a lot of rice-based meals.
Yeah.
And I'd always carry garlic, ginger, chili, soy sauce, cooking oil, a number of different spices.
Yeah.
And then just buy vegetables in the local markets and just use the spices to get a bit of variety.
Yeah. And the people you met probably offered you food as well.
A lot of places, yes, and particularly places like Iran where I would go into a market, if I looked at something... more often than not, a local would just buy it and give it to me, thinking that I wanted it. And other times, I'd be riding down the road, a car would slow down next to me, and someone would hang a bag of food out the window while they're driving and just give it to me. And then they'd drive off. So it was just amazing.
Great hospitality.
It opens your eyes to how beautiful so many people are around the world.
Yeah. So staying, you camped in tents anywhere that you...
Yes, you get pretty confident with the wild camping and, you get clever about it too, about finding places where either absolutely nobody will see you, or lots of people will see you. So you try not to get a place that's in between, because that's where you're likely to have potential issues.
Okay. Well, you see, I've got a sister in London. I don't know if I could bike all the way and go and see her.
Why not? Have you tried?
Now you've got me thinking, could I do this?
I think you could.
Although, I'm not a big fan of going in, like, really cold, cold climate. So I'm not sure. Maybe one day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just start out in New Zealand first.
That's a good place to start. It's as good as any, to be fair. Beautiful.
Wow. Oh, Jeremy, what, have you been reading anything lately?
Well, at the moment, I'm reading a book called Ubuntu, which is... I think it's a Bantu word, like a dialect in Africa, and it means I am because we are. And it basically means if you look for positivity in people, if you trust people, you will receive that in kindness. So it's the way you open yourself up to people is what you will receive. So if you shut yourself off to people, people will shut themselves off to you. And that's the title of the book, and it's about a lady called Heather Ellis, who spent about 6 months riding a motorbike by herself through Africa. And she just speaks about a lot of her experiences and, yeah, just what she learned about Ubuntu was to just open yourself up, trust people, and suddenly you're getting all these beautiful experiences as a result of doing that.
Sounds so interesting. It sounds like, we had an author on the previous shows called Galen Morgan, and her philosophy was kind of like that too, and she had written a book called The Practical and Spiritual Guide to the Universe, and it was encouraging people to look into travel and expand their horizons and also treat others like with kindness so that, you know, when you're traveling, because that's so important, isn't it?
It is, and you when you're traveling solo particularly, you have to trust people, and it's just you don't have a choice, and you realise through doing that, you just meet so many beautiful people, and as a result, you're getting all these amazing experiences, and you think, well, I'll just open myself up to everybody I meet, and that was the pleasure in this journey. Sure, you see some amazing places, but the people, that's what made this journey so special.
Yeah. Would you do it again?
Yes. Well, the next one, if I was to do another trip, I'd go from the top of Alaska to the bottom of Argentina.
Oh, because you didn't go there on your this one. So.
It's a big piece of land I haven't really explored.
Oh, well, talking about places to explore, I have this book here to share called Orbit. NASA astronauts photograph the Earth. It's published by the National Geographic Society. It's a bit of a not recent book, but I thought just to show you because your book's so huge, but this one is photographing from space. So look at that. It's off planet Earth and, from the spacecraft. NASA's astronauts. I found this book in the op shop and it just caught my eye, and it's just amazing looking how humans have sort of explored the planet now that we can see it from space. So, you took so many photographs on your journey, and it's amazing you've got this book now. Now, where can we find your book?
So, the book in New Zealand can be either purchased through the New Zealand Heart Foundation, and they sell it on their website. And I also sell it through my website, which is jeremyscott.com.au. And there's a lot more information on there about the ride, the motivation for it. And, that's basically it there.
Oh, great. Good one, Jeremy. Well, thanks for coming on the show. That's all we have time for tonight, but it's been a pleasure to hear about your adventures, and all the best for your future travels.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now.